In the name of God, the Holy and Undivided Trinity. Amen. There is a quality about this season that prompts the heart to express itself. And for me, the chief expression of the heart is praise. Praise means to heartily express a high opinion or admiration of someone or something. And for people of God, the praise of God has always been the foremost thing. God is worthy to be praised and should be praised above all else. The root of our word worship is worth. We come together to worship because God is worthy to be praised. The Hebrew word hallelujah literally means praise Yahweh, praise God. Its variations appear more than 150 times in the Hebrew scriptures and are echoed in the New Testament. Those ancient people knew then what people of faith know is still true. Praise is a wonderful thing. As we stand here in this Advent, there are signs of wonder and glory all around us. And we can identify with Mary and Elizabeth. They too were living in a world that knew suffering and injustice. They too had lived their lives in the belief that God would send the Anointed One, the Messiah, to bring healing and redemption. And one was now on his way. And they were to be instruments of his coming. The child Mary would bear was to be the Messiah, and Elizabeth's son, who would be called John, would go before the Messiah and announce his coming. How awesome it must have been for them. Two women of low estate were chosen by Almighty God to be important in the plan to bring salvation. How could they do anything but sing praises? Praise truly is a wonderful thing. Praise is wonderful because in order to give praise to God, I must first be released from my own needs. Now, getting our needs met is one thing in which this generation has excelled. And to be fair, there has to be a certain amount of concern in relationships for the meeting of one another's needs. I get that. However, it is very easy for the issue of getting needs met to overshadow the impulse to meet the needs of the other. And when that happens, it's difficult for a relationship to survive and for a person to be healthy. I'm not simply talking about sublimating our needs. Some people I've met have so sublimated their own needs in relationships, they might be described as self-destructive. One of the greatest experiences of freedom is to be so focused on that which is other than me that my own needs are no longer significant. For there to be something so incredibly good and wonderful that I am set free from my preoccupation with my needs is rare. To find that before which I can lay my burdens down and no longer be encumbered by them is perhaps the greatest feeling of liberation. When I stand before the God who created me, who redeems me, and who sustains me, not because of my merits or my needs, but simply because it is the highest concern of God's heart, I am set free. Praise is born of that freedom. And interestingly enough, even at those moments when my needs are foremost on my mind, if I will begin to praise God, I discover that my chains are once again broken. The event in which Mary and Elizabeth would play such a role was one of cosmic and political significance. In their belief and in their moment of praise, their needs held no power over them. Praise is a wonderful thing because in order to give God praise, I must first be so captivated by the divine glory that I am compelled to respond. Praise isn't praise if it isn't expressed. Praise is in the voice that bursts forth in song or in acclamation in response to something incredibly good and praiseworthy. It is an almost spontaneous response. Occasionally, we experience the glory of another person or of some natural phenomenon. And when we do, we find ourselves almost transported into another realm for a while. We kind of hope that's what happens when we enter into God's house to worship together. I remember a cold December day a number of years ago in Houston when I was standing outside waiting for Gay to pick me up at my church to go to lunch. I heard a strange sound around the corner, and I went and looked in the church's courtyard, and upon investigation, I discovered that the sound was made by hundreds of robins. They had flown in with the cold front and had stopped for a brief interval on their migration. The ground was literally black, and the leafless trees above were filled with chirping birds. For some period of time, I don't know, seconds, minutes, it could have been hours, I don't know, I was totally lost in the wonder and glory of that experience. I had no thought for myself. I was literally caught up in it. I was lost in wonder. I only wanted to express delight in that rare moment when time seemed to stand still. Words of praise found their way from my heart to my lips. Martin Luther believed three miracles occurred in the Christmas event. God became human, a virgin conceived, and Mary believed. Now, Luther considered the greatest miracle to be Mary's belief. And perhaps that is the greatest miracle. But if we can learn anything from Mary's belief and Mary's song, it is that when we are in the presence of the glory of God, praise is the unavoidable response. Praise is a wonderful thing because praise is not required to improve God. While God desires our praise and delights in our praise, God is not improved by it. Rather, we are improved by it. I have a secret theory that I'll share with you this morning. I believe that praise is a necessary element in any life that is mentally, spiritually, and physically healthy. Maybe it's not the only thing, but people who can't or won't express praise for God or anything else are usually not very well people. As we learn to discipline ourselves to daily find occasions to praise God, to open our eyes and look for God's hand at work in the world about us, we discover that our relationship with God grows stronger. And that adds to our lives in untold ways, and we become healthier and happier. People around us notice the difference. Praise is a wonderful thing because praise does not claim any of God's glory. Rather, the satisfaction is in the acknowledgement that the glory does not belong to me. Those who come to that conclusion usually discover that life then takes on a new glory, a glory not its own, but the reflection of God's glory as God is enthroned upon the praises of God's people. Randall J. Vandermeer writes in his book, God Talk, The Triteness and Truth in Human Christian Clichés, some people react to good tidings or moments of reprieve by saying, Hallelujah! With genuine joy. From a solidly Christian perspective, they are momentarily joining the eternal choir, inhabiting heaven under the cloak of time. What might happen if people who are shooting at one another, shouting at one another, condemning one another, fearing one another, and hating one another would turn with one voice in praise to God for just a few days or just a few hours. Or as my neighbor suggested, how about tomorrow? We could call it Christmas. My soul magnifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for God has looked with great favor on the lowliness of his servant. Mary's song, your song, my song. When we see God's glory, we're compelled to sing about it. And we sing it not alone, but with choirs of God's people on earth and in heaven. Amen.